Today's daf is daf Yud Tet. We got up to the first third of the daf. And let's just review, because we're still in the middle of the sugya. Basically, we started off with a machlokas of whether we should rely on Pitikra Yared V'Satein in a case where we had the case of our mission extended, where in the mission the case was that you had an achsadra that went around a chutzar, and you put now the tzvach over the middle part, and it was within arba hames of the walls of the house for which the portico extended. So there was no problem because there was dofen akum. Once, however, it was more than four amot, then you had a problem because you had no walls for your sukkah, because the walls of the house didn't reach the tzvach. More than four amos or more away. Now the case, according to the Gemara yesterday, the case that was talking about, in order to avoid any possibility of pitikra yored v'sotem of the walls, the edges of the achsadra, of the portico, was talking about that the schach had been made on the same level as the roof of the portico. And the melech, when you're in the sukkah, there's no edge of the roof at all. Looks like it's one solid piece of schach that now moves into the roof of the portico and then hits the house. But suppose Lamaisa, you would put the schach on top of the roof of the portico. So then we had the machlokas Abaye Rava about whether we would say pitikra yored v'sote. So in a case where there were actual beams that were supporting the portico that were within shlosha tfachim one another, so then there'd be no problem. We would say lovod, we have a separate wall besides the wall of the house. You have the outer wall of the portico. The outer wall of the portico is also kosher wall, they love it, and the sukkah would be fine. How about if there were no pitzimim? So Baye said, afal piking, we would say, pitikra yored v'sotem, and the roof of the portico would become now the walls of the sukkah. According to Rashi, that would be said, alibad Abaye, even on all three sides of the haksadra. And according to Tosfos, he definitely was talking about that we already had two mechitzas there, Mishum Tzniut, and this was only a question of whether we would make third wall with Pitikra Yored V'Sotem. We had a machlokas yesterday. According to Rava, we would not say Pitikra Yored V'Sotem in such a case. The reason being, the way that the Gemara comes out in the end, the real machlokas being, according to Rava, in a case where we have a wall that is being formed by a tikra over an enclosed space, we cannot view that wall as being meaningful to an area outside that space. The din of pitikra yored v'sotem is a halacha that defines the space over which the tikra was built. But it doesn't become a virtual wall to actually pretend that it's there no matter what. And therefore, the sukkah, where you need the wall to be functional for a sukkah on the other side, there's no din of pitikra yored v'sotem. That's how we ended up saying it. Now, in the course of the discussion, it also seemed clear from the Gemara that Lamaisa, this is the way, as I mentioned to you yesterday, many of the Rishonim learn, that when it comes to the sukkah per se, when Rava was saying, how about that middle wall, using the schach of the sukkah itself to create a pitikra yored v'sotem of the sukkah, that we don't say. We don't say a sukkah creates a wall for itself with its schach. Fine. That could be, in other words, where we were talking, note that there were changes in the assumptions throughout the sukkah. Because originally we were talking about utilizing all of the walls. We thought the machlokas Rav and Abaye had to do with all of the walls, not with the direction of the wall, or the direction of the tikra. Then we changed our mind. Then all of a sudden in the middle, Rava started talking about the question of whether you would talk about pitikra yored v'sotem, even if it's the wall of the sukkah itself, the schach of the sukkah, where you're a hifchis, the third wall. That was a middle stage. It may well be that at the end of it all, where we find that the only real issue that's between Rava and Abaye had nothing to do with the actual schach of my sukkah, to use my sukkah as pitikra yored v'sotem. Maybe that's part of the din of mechitzas bechlal. That a sukkah that requires a dofen, the point of requiring a dofen, is a dofen other than its own sechach. So you don't say pitikra yored v'sotein. Very possibly that those who learned that. And it could be that at this point the Gemara is ready to throw out that case in the middle of Hifrit. The fact is we never hear of such a thing again. But we should be makshir a sukkah entirely because of its own pitikra yored v'sotein. It's always where we're using something from another location. So now the machlokas becomes specifically this issue. Can you apply the dinim of a tikra to create a wall for a space for which the tikra wasn't made? That ended up being the machlokas of Abaye
v'Rava. We always assume that a wall always has one side that's for the wall, the other side not for the wall. Aren't walls both sides?
Yes, but we're not always going to be machshir both sides. We've been assuming, for instance, with Lovut, that if it had Batsimim, we've been assuming that, yeah, it would be fine for both sides. But this question of a Tikra turns out to be a Machlokas. And the next Loshen, the Gemara, there's another Loshen now, the Gemara will question whether it's even true of Lovut. So it's not Muska. So says the Gemara today, and we got up to the words Bepumpadita Besura Matli Lashmaitza Bahai Lishna, one fourth of the way down. So in Surah, the way that we just reported it, the Machlokas Abaye Rava, that comes from Surah. Matli Lashmaitza Bahai Lishna. However, in Pumbadita, there was a completely different version of this Machloket, according to which they were not arguing about a Achsadrasha Einla Betsimi, to rely on Pitikra Yored V'Sotein. They were arguing about Eidach Sadra that Yeshla Betsimi, and the question was whether Lovud works in both directions, not whether Pitikra works in both directions. So, Pupum Pedita Matni, Sichech Agabi Achsadra She'en La Betsimi, and it's more than 4 amas, 4 amas or more away from the house, then everybody is Moda that's possible, because you don't say Pitikra Yored V'Sotein in an area that isn't meant to be under the Tikra. Whereas Yeshla Petsimim, Abaye Amar Kshera, Rav Amar Psula, Abaye Amar Kshera Amrinun Lovud. Abaye says, look, there's a din of Lovud. Lovud creates a wall. What's the difference what direction, as Rabbi Yaakov was saying? What's the difference what direction the wall is? A wall is a wall. So if it's a virtual wall, it's a virtual wall. Whereas Rav Amar Psula, in this case, Lo Amrinun Lovud. Rashi explains that Rava holds that Lovud is not a din in virtual walls. It's a din in allowance of empty space. So if Lovud would actually create a virtual wall, you're right, it would work on both sides. But Lovud only tells you that where there is a space that is a reference to a particular rishus, in a sukkah, let's say, so then an area that is open, less than 3 tefachim, if it's meant to be a sealant of that area, is lovud. But if it isn't meant to be a sealant of that area, there's no lovud. It's not that there's a wall there no matter what. Lovud is a description of what you can deal, how to deal with a tear in an opening, basically. But if you don't have any mechitza at all, lovud's not going to create one for you. So over here, your sukkah doesn't have a wall. I will say, well, what about those amudim of the achsadra, the petsimi? That's not meant for my sukkah. That has to do with the achsadra. If the achsadra needs to be defined, use lovud to define it. What does it have to do with my sukkah? So memela says, Rava, lovud wouldn't apply here. Now this lashon, of course, is tremendous chumrah. We never saw before that we need to first establish where mechitz is for before we can use lovud on it. And indeed, the hilchas akalish nekama, the halacha is like the first lashon. In other words, that in fact everybody is moda that we do say lovud, and a sadra that has betsimim, we certainly would say that we can rely on the betsimim. Right. Ravashi ashkeler of kahana to kamesachech agabi achsadra she'in la betsimim. Now here's a curious case. Ravashi finds Rav Kahana, who is now putting his schach over an achsadra that was more than 4 amot away, and it had no petsimim. So apparently he was relying on pitikra yored v'sotein. Omar le, Lo sova lo mar hadi amarava yeshla betzimim chera enlim betzimim psuba. You mean to say that you argue on Rava's psak and that without betzimim your order is also kosher? Achrele, so he took him around. Says, just follow me here. Achrele, nira mi bifnim v'shava mi b'chutz. Hinami nira mi b'chutz v'shava mi bifnim. He showed him that what he took to be a place that did not have any petzimim was actually a place that had petzimim, even though they weren't petzimim for sukkah, but they were good petzimim for Shabbos. What was the case? As we had back in Erev, in many cases of Nir Bivik, want to take your picture books and see if they have a nice... Let's get the big picture book. How about the Maoros picture book? So normally, Pitsimin meant, until now, the concept of Pitsimin we were talking about was Lovet, unless we were talking according to Rif. Here, obviously, we're not talking about Pitsimin. We're talking about, basically, a Lechi. Where's the case here?
In English, what's Pitsimin? Ledge?
Yeah, an edge, a ledge. 122 and 123 in the Ma'or. You can see where you've got a little ledge that sticks out in one direction. And Reish, oh, it's the same thing. Reish Beis and Reish Gimel here in the little ones. You guys in Joburg's the ones I dropped off. Reish Beis and Reish Gimel. I dropped these books off.
Oh.
So here the question, of course, is... Of what relevance is this? I mean, the din of this particular p'tzimim, the itmar, it isn't a din of p'tzimim, nira b'chutz v'shava b'bifnim, nidon b'shum lechi. So that when it comes to a mavui that has to have an indication at its end to differentiate it from the Rishut HaRabim, so one of the ways, until now we were talking about a korat you put across the top, one of the other ways you could be mashur a mavui is you take a straight beam of wood that's up and down, it's vertical. That piece of wood doesn't necessarily have to be noticeable inside the mavui. Suppose I only notice it when I'm on the street, because from inside the mavui it appears to be an extension of the inner wall of the mavui. As I walk down the street, I see that it's sticking out of the mavui, beyond the other walls, such as in the picture. Or vice versa. As I walk down the street, I don't have the slightest idea that this wall is jutting into the mavui because it's even with the street. But when I'm in the mavui, I see it's right in front of me, jutting into the mavui. Of course, from outside, it might as well be the thickness of the whole wall. I don't know. Doesn't matter. As long as it's noticeable, either inside or outside, as being separate from the actual wall of the mavui, it serves as a differentiator between the mavui and the Rishus HaRabim. Now, insists over here, Rav Kahana, the lechi, hainu petzimim. I mean, look, what is a lechi? How do you want to call it a lechi? Call it a lechi. But in point of fact, it's basically an extra board that's sticking there, right? So that, isn't that what petzimim are? I mean, of course, this very much begs the question. What do you mean, isn't that what petzimim? Yes, if you could show me 50 of them within three talking of each other, then yes, they are. You're showing me one. And it's not even in the right place. So how in the world is it supposed to work? The Tosfos says, I don't understand what's going on over here. How is this going to help a sukkah? Unless maybe you want to say that this sukkah was made on Shabbos, and since it was kosher, we say amigu, since it was kosher for Shabbos, but we had before that if something is kosher for Shabbos, it becomes a bafitza for a mavui, so it's kosher for Shabbos on sukkah, for the sukkah. Yeah, this became the third wall because it was kosher as a wall for Shabbos. It says, first of all, I mean, who says it was Shabbos? That is, like the Gemara leaves all that out. But Dafke Shabbos, he made this sukkah. Not to mention that Tosfos Shita all along is that Migo does not help for a wall that's needed Diorite. It only helps for a wall that's needed Dirabbana. So it wouldn't even help you. So over here he had no wall whatsoever on the third side. This is really a problem. What exactly is the Gemara saying here? How is Rav Kahana answering him? Some say that actually this is based on the sugya before, in which there was the whole discussion of whether that extra wall, the tefach, needs also a Tzuras HaPesach, remember? It's Machlokas whether we say, and it also requires a Tzuras HaPesach. So some say maybe that's what was happening over here. He had made a Tzuras HaPesach, but without the Tefach. So the third wall consisted of a Tzuras HaPesach, which doesn't work. He thought, Rav Kahana was relying on Pitikra Yod V'Seisa because he didn't see the Tefach. Comes along now Rav Kahana to show him, no, there is a Tefach. Who said the Tefach has to be in this Sukkah? That's not true. So as long as there's a Tefach with a Tzuras HaPesach, that's what I'm relying on. I mean, it's very, you know, that would be assuming that the whole event before the Gemara and Daf Zayin had in fact happened earlier. We'd already established in that conversation that we have a Tzuras HaPesach. We're taking for granted over here that the Tzuras HaPesach wouldn't work and that it's working because of this one Tzimim. I mean, certainly the way that it's brought over here is extremely misleading. Of course, there are those who showed him who hold that once you say Migu, they argue in Tosfos. Once you say Migu, it would be a good mechitza for Shabbos, then it's good mechitza all 7 days if you had it for Shabbos. We don't see mechitza only lasts for Shabbos. And they argue on Tosfos furthermore as to whether the Migu helps even in the Yeraisa wall. So, I mean, according to them, this Gemara works perfectly well. But you could see it certainly is strange based on the way that we had learned the sugya earlier. Okay, these are one of those things, but it's not as if, I mean, in other words, everybody's aware of this problem. It's not like we're not stuffing it under the carpet. We've got a problem here of how to deal with the concept of migu, but it's certainly not pretending that a single lechi is the same petzimim that we were talking about before, where we were being semech on lovot. Forget about it. That's not the issue here. Tana. Pesel hayotze min asukah nidon kesukah. This is a very chosh of a sugya. We've already spoken about the sugya in a number of places. We spoke about it in the case where we set down a 4 tefachim wide piece of board, only 3 of which was extending over the doorway of the sukkah, and 1 of which was extending outside of the sukkah. And we said that if you hold that it's pesel hayotze min hasukkah, so then it becomes a schach pasul, because instead of only considering the part that's in the sukkah, we have to consider a part that's even outside the sukkah, right? That means we already knew that there's an idea called extended sukkahs that don't have their own mechitzas. The other place we saw it was just recently, where we were talking about schach posel in the middle of a sukkah, or avir in the middle of a sukkah. Where Tosis points out, avir that doesn't split your sukkah into 2 is not going to destroy your sukkah. You may not be able to sit under the avir, but why would the rest of the sukkah be posel? And there Tosis says that even if you'd be sitting in the part of the sukkah that itself is in front of this avir, let's say. So you could say, the part that I'm sitting on doesn't have 3 walls, because my back wall is broken by the open air in between me and the back wall. So Tosfos, even that might not matter. Because the idea of Pesel HaYotzim in a sukkah is that once you have a sukkah, anything that sukkah extends, that the schach extends over, is viewed as being part of the overall umbrella of the sukkah. And therefore, each piece doesn't need to have 3 walls. It's part of the sukkah that has 3 walls. The only time that the empty space will ruin the sukkah is if it makes the entire sukkah a place that doesn't have 3 walls, because it extends all the way from the back wall to the front. So now there's only a gamma on each side. There's no 3 walls. So that too was based on the concept of Pesel HaYotze Min HaSukkah. But we never reached the Gemara that spoke directly about that sugya. Today we are here. So we're talking about the Braita. The Braita says there may be Pesel that extends out of the sukkah, and that has a din of a sukkah. Now the question is, what does that mean? What is Pesel HaYotze Min HaSukkah? Omar Ula, Kanim HaYotzim Le'achore Sukkah. Well, you build your sukkah. You've got one of these big loads of bamboo. Your sukkah is pretty small, and the bamboo extends behind your sukkah for another 3 meters. Can you sit under that bamboo? So over here it's saying that even the bamboo that's extending outside of your sukkah is part of the sukkah. Says the Gemara, how could that be? Don't you need 3 walls to be machshir a sukkah? Bedeika. Well, yeah, you have 3 walls. Oh, Well, you have three walls. Well, I guess you mean they're not big enough. So, but you don't have shasukah. Don't you need it to be 7x7? You have 7x7. Oh, so what's the problem? I guess you've got too much sun. So how could it be kosher if there's not enough schach? Oh, but inan seltam rubami chamata. Don't you need more shade? But Ika, you have more shade. Well, then I'm missing the point. Yes. So then you've got another sukkah. You told me you got a front sukkah and a back sukkah.
Like a sukkah and talks like a sukkah. It must be a sukkah.
Exactly. See, Yochimayel Amemra. So what exactly is the Kiddush? Well, the Kiddush is, you see, that Mar de Tema Hoel Vilagavoy Avide, Ulavaroy Lo Avide Emalo. So here, basically, we could see now, according to this Pirush, why this is being brought here in our sukkah. Because our sukkah is all hung up about the question of what area a wall was meant to enclose. So here you're telling me, I built my wall to enclose the sukkah that's facing forward. It happens to be that Agav was built the sukkah backwards because there was so much tzach that I hadn't realized I could add my wall further back. So you might think that maybe that wall shouldn't be functional, or others learn the sichuch itself, this is a reference here, that I didn't put down the sichuch to take care of the back, I put it down to take care of the front. So you might think that that's not a kosher sukkah. Kamash will end that too is a kosher sukkah. Rab of Rav Yosef says, that's no chiddush, come on. The din of Pesach Yotzim in a sukkah is something completely different. Hocha bekanim hayotzim lifnim min hasuka umashcha va'az lachada dofen v'hadayu. We are not talking about kanim that are extending behind the sukkah. We're talking about kanim that continue out beyond the door of the sukkah. Beyond the door, beyond the front wall area that hadn't been walled in. Remember, our classic sukkah is a three-walled sukkah with nothing at all on the fourth side. So the fourth side now extends outwards beyond one of the walls. One wall extends along. Say one wall is the edge of your house. The edge of your house may go on for another 40 feet. But the wall of your sukkah, you only made a 5-foot wall. Now you put down a big load of kanim, and they extend for 3 meters further. So now you've got basically an area that has your house wall along one edge, but has no sukkah wall along the other edge at all. Since it's an extension of the sukkah, which is built on towards the back, it's all considered to be kosher sukkah. You don't need three walls in where you're sitting, even though there's only one wall. The Rush points out that this is true of every sukkah. Because every sukkah only has two walls, and then the third wall is a tefah. So then every sukkah is Pesach Hayotzi Min HaSukkah. And I understand what the Gemara is saying here, says the Rush. All you're doing is describing a prorated sukkah instead of the minimal sukkah. You're saying, okay, make that bigger. If every sukkah had a little tiny wall on one edge, according to the halacha, a long wall on the other edge, and a wall in the back. So I mean, you're now calling that Pesach Yotzim in a sukkah. That's not Yotzim in a sukkah, that is a sukkah. That's the fundamental definition of a sukkah. What are you talking about? That's a darn good question. So this configuration doesn't seem to be adding anything to the nature of sukkah. What's more, there's something very disturbing. And that is the sukkah that we had earlier, that sukkah that I just quoted to you about, the piece of schach that I set down in front of the sukkah. Over there, it wasn't talking about that the wall had extended at all. And we still called it Pesach Hayotzi Min HaSukkah. Here they're saying one of the walls has to extend along with you. But if just the schach extends, that's nothing, right? And there it said, if you lay down this 4 tefachim piece right in front of the open wall, so we have to count the 4 tefach because it's Pesach Hayotzi Min HaSukkah, despite the fact that nobody said anything about the wall extending outward, one of the dofen extending along. So how come until now we were happy to have Pesach Hayotzi Min HaSukkah, despite the fact that there's no walls and that it's only under the sichuch And now all of a sudden we say that you need to have one wall extending along with it, which essentially gives it the dinner two walls. Another question. Does this work, assuming it needs to work in some way, does this work by extending the short wall and making it appear as if it covers the Pesel area as well? Or is it saying that you don't need the wall? There's a very big difference between the two. Because suppose you have a break of three tefachim. So now even if I would have extended that wall, the break would have prevented that wall from covering this area. Does Pesel, Ayotzim, and Asuka actually require an extension of the other wall, or is it saying you don't need a third wall? That's cute, right? Okay, now these are all very, very interesting issues. I mean, the Rush doesn't have a clear cut. I mean, what he says is that in a case where you intend for that tefach to be your third wall, so then that's the point. The Torah has said that that tefach equals the wall of the entire sukkah. But over here, clearly, that isn't what you were doing. You were building a sukkah. You built a 5-foot long wall. Would you have to build such a long wall? Because that was your sukkah. Now the Pesach, when you put down the schach, extends beyond that wall. So it turns out that you never made a dofen for that sukkah. So there, the din of Pesach yotzei sukkah is that it sort of comes out of, in the sense of emerges out of your sukkah. Was it something that you had set up initially to be your sukkah? Both of the first Pirushim in Pesach yotzei sukkah use the word yotzei, more than in the physical sense. It's not simply that it's yotzei beyond physically. It's yotzei beyond your plans. So it was an extension of your initial building of the sukkah. And that would be true according to both. Question is whether you're using a full three walls, which was the first pshat, and extending beyond is because you didn't intend to have those three walls for your sukkah, or whether you don't even have the full three walls, because basically we're relying on a wall that isn't up in this area. The other piece that I asked you is a Dita Machlokas Rishonim. Do you need to view this as an extension of the other wall, or is it actually saying you don't need another wall? And as I mentioned to you, Nafkamina La'alocha would be if you have Avir Shalosh. If you have Avir Shalosh, it won't help to have another wall because it's not connected to your schach. But if you don't need the other wall, who cares how much Avir you've got? As long as you're not sitting under the Avir, it would be kosher. As far as the question from the sugya earlier, which was placing the board of four in front of the sukkah, there are two basic approaches to that. The Korban Nisano says that the Gemara over there was only mentioning that as a possibility if we wanted to ignore the idea of edge on Gzeras Tikra. So if we want to avoid, remember the question was, does it become an actual schach possible, or is only the way that I put it that's possible? But once the Gemara was ready to accept the idea of the thing itself becoming possible, even if it's edge on instead of width on, so then it's irrelevant, the sugya over there. We didn't stick with that. That was just a possibility. The Gemara might have, indeed, if it was stuck with that possibility, would have needed to zero in on the question of you needed a dofen to extend outward. But it certainly wasn't going to go into that at that point where we ended up not sticking with it. Others, there are Rishonim that say that the case over there, they stick in the words back in that sugya, that it's kipesel ayotzei min asukah, that indeed it was talking about that one of the dofanim extended further to avoid this whole issue. Again, I'm just bringing all of this out to you, not that it should be clear. We're not trying to stuff anything under the carpet over here. We understand there are issues need to be addressed. We don't have to get to the bottom of them here. But let's not pretend that the sugya is all that clear. Personally, Yotzimna sugya, as far as we see from here, does require at least a dofen extending outwards. Now, there are other approaches. The other approaches are like this. Rabba bar Brachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo nitzcha l'sukah sheruba tzilta miruba michamata. Now this is an extremely, extremely practical situation. It often happens. You have a very large sukkah. You judge the sukkah in terms of is there mostly shade. You judge it in aggregate. You take a look at your sukkah. Holistically, your sukkah is tzelata merubi mechamata. You could split up your sukkah into various smaller sukkahs of 7x7, let's say, right? Maybe one of those areas wouldn't be tzelata merubi mechamata. If I just had this area, the schach is very shvach. Everybody's got situations like that. I got one corner of my sukkah where the schach is very poor. I don't feel comfortable that it's chamata miruba mitzelta. Does that piece have to be chamata miruba mitzelta? Or does the whole sukkah have to be chamata miruba mitzelta? So according to this version, the meaning of Pesach Yotzim in HaSukkah is where you've got basically a sukkah where mostly it's tzelata miruba mechamata. And you have a small area that is chamata miruba mitzelta. So you might think, okay, I'm not allowed to sit under that area, because that area is in kosher sukkah. Comes osoma de tema tipasel b'ach purta. That little piece should be pasel. Gomash malan. Therefore, it comes to say that if it's yotze min asukkah, my yotze, over here, obviously yotze doesn't mean yotze physically extends outward. Over here, yotze means yotze mi hechsher sukkah. That it extends outside of the normal parameters of a kosher sukkah. Namely, it doesn't have tzelta miruba mechamata in this place. But since it's all subsumed within an overall sukkah, in which tzelta miruba mechamata, the whole thing is kosher. I don't have to worry about sitting under this particular corner, even though this corner, indeed, may be tzelta mechamata miruba mechamata. Now the question is, if this corner indeed could be isolated as a full sukkah of 7x7, so that maybe it isn't subsumed by the rest of the sukkah. Okay, that's already, there are those that are machmer in certain cases not to call that Pesach Yotzim sukkah. Right, where it would have its own, you know, let's say the end of your sukkah, you know, which often happens, like the schach is thick as it's towards the middle, because as it gets towards the edge, in order to avoid its falling off, you don't put on so much schach. Let's say, so that area maybe would define itself as a separate sukkah. Then maybe not. Okay. So again, most Rishonim learn that these various approaches to Pesach Yotzim HaSukkah don't argue with each other. So that you could actually be semich on any of the above. The Rambam clearly, the way Reb Chaim explains the Rambam, the way that he's understanding the sukkah is that each one is chaylik on the one before. Because of that, he comes up with some unusual piskei halachas.
By the way, Ron, if you have a sukkah which has chamatam ruv etzelta, and one corner has shade, you can't use that either.
No, you would have to first define overall the sukkah. Another meaning is ruvoshai omer lo nitzkal l'schach pasul. How about if you actually have schach pasul? They have schach pasul in a sukkah ketana. It's less than shlosha tvachim. And when I use the word yotze, I mean yotze mitorat sukkah. Because it's not included in the dinim of schach. Question is that schach considered to be part of the sukkah? Comes along the brayta to say, yes, pesel, yotze na sukkah, nidon ke sukkah. Masker of Oshaya, what is this? What's the chiddush in that? No ye ala avir. Didn't you say avir pachot mishlosha tfachim in a sukkah ketana? Even avir isn't passeling. So I understand what's the chiddush? We know that the din of sukkah ketana is to look at it in aggregate as one sukkah. That's not because of the din of pesel. Oh, my lay Rabbi Ab, excuse me, sir. It's a big difference. The point of Pesach Yotzim HaSukkah Nidon Kesukkah is that you could sleep under it. You didn't know that before. You said that the empty space is part of the sukkah. That doesn't mean you could sleep under the empty space. You still have to be sleeping under the schach, don't you? So here, where you've got the schach pasul, and you're telling me it's Pesel, that's Yotze min HaSukkah, meaning it's not included in the din of the sukkah, then nonetheless it's Nidon Kesukkah. Nidon Kesukkah means you can actually sleep under it. That's a big chiddush. And that's only because of the din of Pesel. That's how Rashi learns the sukkah. Now, Tosfos doesn't like the way Rashi learns the sugya. Okay, the reason he doesn't like it, he says, what the heck does this have to do with the sukkah ketana? If it's coming to tell me the chiddush that you could sleep under schach pasul, so that's exactly the same chiddush in the sukkah gedola as it is in the sukkah ketana. I mean, something funny about the whole sugya. And what, it's hard to believe, says Tosfos, that it mentioned sukkah ketana just because it wants to also tell me the din of tziruf. Okay. Furthermore, Tosfos says, isn't the exact opposite true? If you have airspace that's less than 3 tefachim, then Lovewood tells you that it's sealed and that we don't view it as airspace, right? So on the contrary, it's not the same as schach pasul. Where over there, you can't make schach pasul into schach kasher through Lovewood. You can ignore an airspace through Lovewood, but you certainly can't turn something possible to something kosher through Lovewood. Furthermore, the way Rashi is learning that you can't sleep under air, how does anybody use a sukkah? There's always pieces of air all over the place. What is that supposed to mean? You can't sleep under the air. I mean, according to that, a sukkah would mean, the shade of a sukkah would mean one of those, plastic, semi-transparent things. It's got shade, but it's not completely shaded. I mean, obviously, if you're using branches, there's going to be air. So you'll say, well, I don't know, part of me was under the air, so that's not kosher. How's that possible? Therefore, Tosfos says the exact opposite is the case. You can sleep under the airspace, but you can't sleep under the schach pasul, right? So that's the problem. When it says that zeh mitzaref yishanim tachtav, zeh mitzaref ein yishanim tachtav. So in other words, the avir, I need to tell you the chiddush, because the avir, I understand you don't have a problem with. But here you have a problem, you can't sleep under it. So I would think it's not mitzaref. What are you bringing me, a raya from avir? The Gemara, Rav Hoshaya shouted at him. He said, if Avir, which is Pasul, it's also Mistarev. So why this? Says he to him, just the opposite is true. What's the matter with you? If something, there I could sleep under it, because it's not there, but over here I can't sleep under it. So you don't need to know that it's Mistarev. That's how he learns the circuit. Lamaisa, halakha Lamaisa, we end up like Rash, not like Tosfos. We don't sleep under the air. But what does it mean not to sleep under the air? Not to sleep under the air means that Rosh HaVerubo shouldn't be under the air. And even there are those who hold, as we mentioned earlier, that even Lagavi this halacha, air is insignificant unless it actually runs down the sukkah as a whole. Otherwise, it's just viewed as being bottle within the schach. Lamaisa. Oh, so and any amount, no.
Even less than Tevach.
Right. No. If it would cover Rosh HaVerubah. I mean, that's not... It has to cover Rosh HaVerubah. So in other words, if your head is bedavka under an area where there's no schach, and that schach would be the whole way, so then fine, then you shouldn't be there. No, it only passes if it's born in three.
Takes away a dofen.
Right. Probably takes away a dofen. Here we're not dealing with the dofen issue. We're dealing with the missing schach issue. Lamaisa, we end up being machmer. That's a combination of sugyas that's really halacha. Lamaisa, it's said to be machmer that if in one place there's enough which would cover Rosh HaVerubah, then not to sit under Rosh HaVerubah, an area where there's no schach, even in a case where it doesn't run down the middle, or in a case where it does run down the middle, bichlal, not to be under that schach. So we take it both ways.
It doesn't matter if you... Sometimes you buy a schach and it's like, I didn't have enough space for that. You didn't intend for it not to be covered. In other words, that area versus the fact that the next year, I know I'll just leave that corner uncovered. I mean, there's no nafkamina as far as...
You're not giving me a clear case, I'm sorry. I don't understand the case.
As far as Alpitosfos with the airspace, if it was for kavanah, even Bama should not even intend for it to be covered. It makes no difference whether...
Maybe afterwards explain it to me better. I'm trying, but I'm not getting there. Now, the question is, umi ikam min hitztaref mitztaref u'atzmeinu kosher. So now you're saying that. You're telling me I can be mitztaref, according to Rashi, the airspace, according to Tosfos, the posel's kach, which I'm not allowed to sleep under. And even though I can't sleep under it, it will still be part of the shear of a thing? That's weird. So is there such a thing as umi ikam min hitztaref mitztaref u'atzmeinu kosher, something which itself is not kosher, and yet helps to be mitzvah to make something else kosher? Omer Yitzchak bar Yashiv, in. I have a perfect example of such a thing. Example is Tita Nirok. Tita Nirok yochiyach, she mitzvah l'arba'im sa'ah, v'atover bo, lo atalot vila. If you've got a mikveh that's made out of mud, and it just manages to be on the liquid side, so it can be poor. Only on Erev Yom Kippur. So you can't be tovel in it. However, if you have a mikvah of Arboim So, which isn't entirely titani rok, and needs a little bit of titani rok to add to it to make Arboim Sa'ah, so then you're allowed to use that to be mashlim, the shear of the Arboim Sa'ah. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says it, then it's not, if that's how you're learning, it's not a good example. Because Tita Nirok, when it's part of a mikvah of Arboim Sa'ah, is indeed suitable for tefillah.
It's not.
Right. It is. It's not the same. Over here, obviously, the mixing of Tita Nirok with water makes it already more suitable for tefillah. Now it's more liquid. Mashenken, over here, you're not mixing anything. The airspace doesn't become less airy just because there's more of a circa there. That's if the whole thing is Tita Nirok. If the whole mikveh is made out of Tita Nirok, lo al talot vila. So Tosfos learns the sugya of Tita Nirok is that indeed part of the mikveh is thick mud. You can't be tovel in that part even at the time that you're using it to be mashal mashir, to allow you to be tovel in the water.
Because it's not enough room for you?
No, because that's not considered to be water, lagabi your body, but it is considered, so here's the same thing, it's not considered to be schach, so that if you were under it, it won't be kosher. Nonetheless, sukkah as a whole is okay. Here it's not considered to be water, so that if you were tovel in it, it would be kosher. Nonetheless, the mikvah as a whole is okay, including it as if it's water. So that's exactly this case. Okay? It seems to be serving two contradictory functions. It's water in terms of the shear, and here the airspace is schach in terms of the shear, but it's not water in terms of you're actually using this water. And the mud.
But you can't use the water.
Yeah. But here too, you can use the sukkah, but you can't use the air, so it's the same thing. Sabah Josh, you run.
Sukta Haideke Mishnah.
Ha'oseh sukkatoke min tzrif. So here you have a teepee sukkah. There's no clear wall, no clear ceiling. It's all one. Or you have a lean-to sukkah. Again, there's one diagonal wall, which is serving both as top and as side. Right? So now there's no clear-cut schach and no clear-cut dofen. So Rabbi Eliezer says that's pasul, because there's no clear-cut schach. The chachamim are machshir. So here, obviously, the whole thing had been made out of kosher schach. Furthermore, it's obviously big enough so that if I create within it a virtual box the size of a sukkah, so that I have an area that is 10 high by 7, by 7 by 7, it will fit inside. So I do have a sukkah. Space-wise, I have a sukkah. Tosfos even suggests, once I have that space-wise sukkah, the rest outside of that box, the virtual box, is kosher because of Pesel HaYotzei Min HaSukkah. It would be another example of Pesel HaYotzei Min HaSukkah. Right? So not everybody agrees that height also would serve as Pesel HaYotzei Min HaSukkah.
Where's the third wall covered?
No, it's all a wall. You create it every way you want it. It's a teepee. So it's got walls all around. It's whatever you want to call wall. It's at that point you call it wall, and at that point you call it schach. So it's up to the point of Asara Tvachim, you call it the wall, and from that point on you call it the schach. It's all a diagonal. It's all one diagonal. It's up to you.
On the third wall. In this picture, they had two. I was asking.
Oh, on that side. Yeah, I didn't see. I don't know about that. That's not a good picture. It's a teepee. It's not a double lean-to.
Okay.
Tana.
If it's leaning against the wall, is that the kind of sticker?
Yes, obviously you would need an additional wall. But they made the teepee into a double lean-to instead of a real Tana. Meida Reb Eliezer, sheimik bia min hakarka tefach, or shefliga min hakotel tefach, shekshira. Now, all of this, even though Reb Eliezer says it's pasul, he's moda that if you set off an area which is clearly an ohel, and what's the shear of an ohel? A tefach. So let's say you raise the lower wall from the ground one tefach, and now there's a non-diagonal, but a straight down wall, which is a tefach. Rashi learns you don't even need to build that wall. You can rely on lovud, because lovud doesn't work on diagonals. Lovud works directly downwards. Others learn you have to actually have something there. Or you separate the top from the wall of the house with a tefach, again, according to Rashi, using lovud. So now you have a flat area. A flat area is an ohel. And once you have that little bit of ohel, the rest of it is certainly now seen to be extensions of that ohel. So there it's kosher. There was everybody's mode, it's kosher, we've got a tefach. Why did the Rabbanan say it's kosher even without a tefach? My time, my other Rabbanan. Because they hold shipuei ohalim, koalim damo. Even diagonal ohalim have the same exact dinim as an ohel. And therefore, we split the diagonal into a 90 degree, in other words, we have a top and we have a side, and they're all included in that diagonal. Now, Abaye finds Rabbi Yosef sleeping in a kilat chatanim in a sukkah. Now, we know the kilat chatanim, we've met this kilat chatanim, it's a weird creature that has no room even for a tefach within three tvachim. So it's a very sharp angle. If you want to be really uncomfortable, sleep in a kilat chatanim. Obviously assuming that since it didn't have a tefach on top, there was no problem of shipuei olim. So he said to him, horrors, come on, Reb Eliezer. You mean you're relying on Reb Eliezer, who by the same token as saying a sukkah is not kosher like this, would say that an ohel in a sukkah is not a problem like this. But Shavakta Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, shipuei olim ko alim. So therefore, this kilat chatanim has a roof, as far as the Rabbanan are concerned. So now you're inside of a separate ohel in the sukkah. How could you do that? Omale braita ipchatani. In the braita, it says the opposite. It says Reb Eliezer is the one who's makshir. And therefore, according to Reb Eliezer, the ohel in the sukkah, the kilat chatanim, would now be a problem. But the chachamim are the ones who are poslim, in which case they would hold that the kilat chatanim doesn't have a din of an ohel, which is why I'm sleeping in it. At which point, of course, Abaya yelled, horrors, shavakta matnitin vavadata kibraita. How could you ignore the Mishnah and follow the braita? Because this Mishnah is clearly not a Mishnah of Dat Rabbim. I know I've traced this Mishnah, and this Matnitin is Yechidai. It follows only Rabbi Nosson's personal sheet, the Tanya. Aosesu katoke min tzrif, osha samchala kotel, Rabbi Natan omer that Rabbi Eliezer posel mipleisha in lagag, v'chachomim makshirim, which means that those who don't agree with Rabbi Natan, which is the majority, is the daya that's expressed in the braita, which is that it's the other way around. And therefore, on the contrary, I was following the rabbim all the way through. In this case, of course, the rabbim were the way it was expressed in the braita, and I followed the rabbim according to the rabbim. I paskan like the chachomim, that the chachomim said that the sukkah would be, in fact, posel, so the kilas chasanim is not at all. And therefore, I slept in it.
What's the problem with sleeping in a well within the sukkah?
You're not in the sukkah, you're in a separate ohel.
But since the kula is possible, it's not a tent, so you can sleep in it.
So you can. Because if the sukkah would be possible, then the kila would be possible. Right. Unless it doesn't have a shear of tent. We had all the shitas earlier. Lamaisa, by the way, very interesting. This is a side point, but very interesting. There seems to be no problem in using double-decker beds in your sukkah.
Like bunk beds?
There's bunk beds in your sukkah.
What about the bottom?
Because the bottom is not 10 tefachim.
Because it's less than 10 tefachim.
Right. The distance between the pallet, not from the floor, but the pallet to the person on top of you is usually less than 10 tefachim.
Well, that's great. We fit them all in there.
The first bunk is the bottom bunk. The top of the first bunk.
The bottom bunk.
The top
bunk.
The bottom of the bottom bunk.
No.
The bottom of the top bunk.
The board above your head.
The board. The distance of the board above your head.
Right. The body on the bottom.
10 tefachim is a minimum of 80 centimeters. It's between 80 centimeters and a meter.
Some beds are
bigger. Some, but most beds aren't.
But if it wasn't,
most kids' beds, yeah, if it would be, it would be a problem. The only problem is, some people, Taina, it's true, there's no problem sleeping in a double decker. But if somebody's on top of you, there's a problem, because we learned, or we didn't learn, we didn't get to it yet, but we'll see later on that an animal's stomach is considered to be an ohel. And since humans are animals and they have stomachs, that should be an ohel. Right. Gets at the whole question whether min b'mina is chayv ha'aretz, all types of it. But most of the poskim say it's okay to use double decker. Right, but over here it has a the Torah calls it an ohel. We'll see later on that we give it a special halacha because it says tesoch hecheni. Uses the lashon of tesoch hecheni on my own atzomeis v'gidim. Atzomeis v'gidim tesoch hecheni. So it means that that's chach. So now you're sitting under a different
so,
so the kid's tummy on top is supposed to
look. Doesn't the body need to be
mahil? No, it is mahil. I mean, if we,
is it lying straight?
Why not? It's lying over you.
But there's nothing holding up except the bed.
That's what doesn't matter. For oil, you don't need it to be on. Anyway, but it's cute. Yep. So if you've got a sleeping quarters problem in your sukkah, all you got to do is put in shelving. have each kid in the shelf, and then it's fine.
On the wall.
Okay, you're on. Try it again.
Machzelet
kanim gedola. Start off with a large bamboo. How do you say machzelet? Mat. Yeah. Basically, what we use for our, the top of our sukkahs. If it was made l'shchiva, if it was made for lying on, then it's mekabel tuma. Of course, if it's mekabel tuma, in mesachachin ba. But if it were made for sichuch, then mesachachin ba, and it's not mekabel tuma. Of course, that itself is a contradiction, because it's assuming a different status in the first part than in the second part for a non-defined machatzelet. The Gemara will ask that. You can never make a statement that just takes two extremes. It leaves out the middle, because then the middle is being defined in opposite ways by the two extremes, right? Okay, so the Gemara will ask this. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, why did you say a machatzelet kanim gedola? I don't care what size it is. Achat ktana ve'achat gedola. I don't care if it's big. I don't care if it's little. Asa'a l'shchiva mekabela tuma ve'in mesachachin ba. Now look, just before we even get into the Gemara, let's just reading the Mishnah naively, we understand ourselves that the whole Mishnah revolves around implications, not about what is said, but what is implied. Because Rabbi Eliezer is only arguing because of the fact that there's an implication that the above is true about Machatzelet Kanim Gedola and not a Ktana. Correct? So he's saying, why did you say only Gedola? Could have said the same thing about the Ketana. But he doesn't say what you could have said about the Ketana, because you didn't say anything about the Gedola. Because what you said about the Gedola, you left open. I mean, surely we're not arguing if Lamaisa we would go ahead and define something and make it for a particular purpose. I mean, we're ready to say that that purpose defines its ability to be Mekabel Tuma, right? Okay, so then what they seem to be arguing about is the undefined middle, which means that we don't know whether Rabbi Eliezer is coming to be more machmer or to be more makel, because we don't know what the undefined middle was. Namely, what if I hadn't defined it? What if I had just made it without knowing what it's for. It was not manufactured for a particular purpose. It's stam. Is it stam l'shchivan mekabel tuma, or is it stam l'sichuch not mekabel tuma?
Manufactured, have it purchased.
If it was not manufactured for a particular reason, so then I could define it any time. It's yordan l'day tuma b'machshava. So that means that we're left completely in the dark. We don't know which direction Rabbi Eliezer is taking us. Is he trying to say, well, you seem to be implying that if it was a machzelet gedolah, that it would be, by definition, l'sichuch, unless you said otherwise. I say l'kula, that's true, even if it's k'tana, it's l'sichuch and not mekabel tuma. Or was he saying the other way? Were you trying to say that a machzelet, even if it's a gedolah, is stam l'shchiva? So then why would he say even? It's a for sure k'tana. Okay, but these are the questions we're going to have to decide. So first the Gemara points out that by leaving out the middle, we basically created a contradiction. How gufa kasha? You just contradicted yourself. You start off by saying that a machatzelet that was asa'a l'shchiva is mekabela tuma and ein mesachachim ba. So when I read those words, I come to the following conclusion. Ta'ima da asa'a l'shchiva. The only reason that statement is true is because it was made for purposes of lying on, and therefore it's mekabel tumas midras, and therefore it's not kosher for schach. But the implication is astama. If you wouldn't have made it l'shchiva, you said, if you made it l'shchiva, then you can't use it. Fine, I didn't make it l'shchiva. What'd you make it for? I don't know. Just practicing. What's the din? So the mashmaut is that if I made it stama, that the halacha is that it would be kosher l'shchiva, because I didn't say I wanted to lie on.
Whether right? Big or small.
No, you only talked about big. You only talked about big. So I don't know about small. Maybe that's why you only talked about big. Because maybe small is more naturally used for lying on. But then you turn right around and you say, Vahadatani, and you say the opposite. Then you say, but if you made it specifically for purposes of sichluch, then misachachin ba, and ena mekabela tumah, from which I'm forced to conclude that that's only because you made it specifically for sichluch. Taima di asal sichluch. But if you had made it stama, it would have been for shchiva. I can explain. I don't understand. So which one is true? Says the Gemara, you're right. There's definitely a contradiction here. And in fact, one of them was referring to the machatzelet kanim gedolah, and the rest was referring to even a ketana. So halakasha, kan v'gdolah, and kan v'ketana. That's the point. So if you start off with something which is ketana, which is ru'uya, therefore l'shchiva, that would be the norm. I make something small, I don't make it to put up on top of a building. I make something small, I'm basically using it for when my guests come to spread out and to be their bed on the floor. But, so in that case, if I would want to use it for sichuch, I'd have to say, look, even though this is small, I am definitely making this mat for sichuch, and therefore it's okay to use it on the top of my sukkah. On the other hand, if it's gdolah, so then, I would have to make it l'shkiva in order to be possible. But stoma, it would be kosher. So the Mishnah begins with machatzelet kanim gdolah, and then continues on to discuss, so what would be the din, basically, of the ketana.
The person changed the status of it with his machshava?
Not once it was already yored. Okay, now the Marshal's girsa here is to take out the piece that we have in parentheses, and instead to insert the words, ema seifa. Let us see whether that holds up by reading ahead. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achat ktana, ve'achat gdola, asa'a l'shkiva mekabela tuma, ve'in mesachachin ba. Now, let's try to understand Rabbi Eliezer first on his own, okay? What is he saying? Asa'a l'shkiva mekabela tuma, so ta'ima da asa'a l'shkiva. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying, if I specifically made it for purposes of lying on, then it would be no good for sichuch, because it's mekabela tuma. But whether it's big or small, min astam, it's made l'sichuch, right? And therefore it would be kosher. continues in now to say Ema Sefer, also all the Sichuch B'Sachachin Ba, Vein Mekabala Tuman. Then he goes right along, and he contradicts himself, and he says that only if it was made specifically for Schach is it not Mekabala Tuman. Taima Da Asa Ala Sichuch, Hostama L'Shkiva. So now, you certainly can't say that you're going to answer that answer, Rebbe Eliezer. I mean, Rebbe Eliezer said openly, Achat Gedola V'Achat Ketana. So the Rabbanan, you could, the Tanakam, you could get away with that kind of approach. You could say the words Makatzela Kanim Gedola introduced the statement. The continued statement was referring to a Ketana. But when Rebbe Eliezer opens his words by saying, either small or large, the following is true, and the following is a contradiction in itself, so then clearly we're missing the point. Because, I mean, they're not suddenly talking past each other, not using the undefined middle in different ways. So let's try to get to an explanation that deals both with Rabbanan and with Rebbe Eliezer in ways that are consistent and allows us to understand what their machlokas is. Elam, Rava says, Rava, okay, you're right. Obviously, I can't just throw in the words as a difference between the Gedola and Ketana. Here's what I would suggest. I would say like this. Gedola kuliamalo plige destoma lasichuch. The first case that's given in the Mishnah, in which it says, osa ala shchiva mekabela tuma. Everybody agrees with that. If you're starting off with a large thing, a large mat, the purpose of that mat, it's too big for sleeping on. It's large enough to cover your roof. It's meant to cover your roof. Everybody agrees. So that's stamala sichach. The machlokas only begins with the implied case of the ketana. The Tanakama clearly holds that stam ketana l'shkiva. And therefore it says, if you make it specifically for sichuch, then it's not mekabel tuma. To which Rebbe Eliezer replies, I disagree. And I say, bein ketana, bein gedela, even stam ketana, Rebbe Eliezer savar, even stam ketana is the same as your stam gedela, and it's also meant the sichuch, and therefore, hachikomar, when the lashon and the mishnah is to be understood as follows. Machatzelat akanim gedola, osa alashkiva and only osa alashkiva. It's mekabel tuma. If it was made lashkiva, so then it's mekabel tuma, and then of course it can't be used for schach. But that's only if you bedafke made it lashkiva, time it osa alashkiva. But had you left it without defining it as stama, then it would be osa alashkiva. So then that's the continuation. Osa ala sichuch, anything but the specific definition of l'shkiva remains osa ala sichuch, and then mesachachin ba, to which Rebbe Eliezer comes along, v'yata Rebbe Eliezer l'meima, no, I think that's even true about the ktana. And achat ktana v'achat gdola, stama is kshera l'sichuch. All right? We'll continue this tomorrow because we're going over to Surah Matni Hachi, the Pupadita Matni Sikhagaviat Sadra Shain Labatim and Yivako Psula, Yesh Labatim and Biomic Shara Rav Amar Psula, Biomic Shara Mina Lavud, Rav Amar Psula, Lo Amina Lavud to make a virtual machitza. Yoga Sakalisha Kama, Ravashi Ashkel of Kanataka Besakhagaviat Sadra Shain Labatim. Omale lo sava ma hadi ama rava yesh la petzimim kshirai la petzimim psulot achle nira mi bifnim v'shave mi bachutz inami nira mi bachutz v'shave mi bifnim di itma nira mi bachutz v'shave mi bifnim di don mishum lechi v'lechi hainu petzimim tana pesel ayotzi ben asuka nidon kesuka mai pesel ayotzi ben asuka amru la kanim ayotzim la achrei suka how could that be kosher b'inan shalosh tfanot b'riika b'inan hech shesuka b'riika Right? מה יוצא? יוצא מתורת סוכה. מה את קורא ראשה? לא יהיה לאוויר. לאוויר פחות בשלושה טווחים בסוכה קטנה מפוסל. אמרה רבי אבא, זה מצטרף ישנים תחתיו, וזה מצטרף ישנים תחתיו. ומי גמיני תצורף מצטרף, והוא עצמנו כשר. אמרה רבי יצחק בן הישבים, תיתן נראה כיוכיח, כשמצטרף לארבע עם שעה, להתובל בו, לא עתה לו תפילה. או עושה סוכתו כמין צריף, או שסמכה לכותל, רבי אליעזר פוסל מפני שנגג, וכחומים מכשירים. תנא, מודה רבי אליעזר שאם הגביע מן הקרקע טפח, או שהפליגה מן הכותל טפח, שקשרו, מה הייתה מיד רבונה? שיפרו היועלים כועלים דומו. אבאי אשקל רבי אליעזר כגונם בקהילת חתנים בסוכה, אומר לי, כמאן, כרבי אליעזר? שברת רבונן ועבדת כרבי אליעזר? אמר לי, ברייתא יפחתני, רבי אליעזר מכשיר וחכמים פוסלים? מה, שרקת מתניתין ועבדת כברייתא? אמר לי, מתניתין יחידאי, נתניה עושה סוכתו כמין צריף, או שסמכה לכותל, רבי נתן אומר, רבי אליעזר פוסל מפני שאין לגג, וחכמים מכשירים. מחצלת, קנים גדולה, עשה לשכיבה מקבלת טומאה ואין משחקים בה, עשה לסיחוך משחקים גם ואין מקבלים טומאה. רבי אליעזר אומר, אחת קטנה ואחת גדולה, עשה לשכיבה מקבלת טומאה ואין משחקים בה, לסיחוך משחקים בה ואין מקבלת טומאה. הגוף הקשה, אמרת עשה לשכיבה מקבלת טומאה ואין משחקים בה, only because עשה לשכיבה, הסתמה לסיחוך. Then you say, עשה לסיחוך משחקים בה ואין מקבלת טומאה, only because you made it לסיחוך, הסתמה לשכיבה, הלא קשה. כאן בגדולה, כאן בקטנה, אין בסיפה. רבי אליעזר אומר אחת קטנה ואחת גדולה, עשה לשכיבה מקבלת טומאה אחת ואין משחקים בה. תימד עשה לשכיבה סתם לסיחוק, אין בסיפה. עושה לסיחוק משחקים בה, אין מקבלת טומאה, תימד עשה לסיחוק, או סתם לשכיבה. אלא אמר רבי בגדול, כולי אמר לו פליגי דסתם לסיחוק, כי פליגי בקטנה, תנא כמה סבר סתם קטנה לשכיבה, רבי אליעזר סבר, even סתם קטנה, is also kosher because it's made לסיחוק. ואוכי כמה. מחצלת, הקנים גדולה, עשה לשכיבה מקבלת טומאה ואין משחקים בה. דווקא, because you made it לשכיבה, סתם, it would always be as if עשה לסיחוך אין משחקים בה. To which Rabbi Eliezer replies, that's even true if it's קטנה. And אחת קטנה ואחת גדולה, is סתם כשרה לסיחוך.